Good morning. As Father mentioned, my name is Father Tony Stevens. I am a priest with the Fathers of Mercy. We are a religious community headquartered near Bowling Green, Kentucky. Auburn, Kentucky is technically our mailing address. And so I'm here to preach the parish mission this week that really begins with these masses on the weekend. And so I want to thank Father Krenwelge and Father Sabo for the opportunity to be here and celebrate this time of really Eucharistic revival and renewal, and I'll talk more about that in the homily. I did not grow up in Kentucky. I grew up in a state called Kansas. And so I didn't think Kansas had a team that would beat the Mountaineers, but so I'm not talking any smack. Sorry, Yeah, so things turned out differently than I predicted they would at Mass last night, so now it's just all awkward, and I don't even know where to go now. So, there, we'll leave it there. My fear is that when basketball season rolls around, the Mountaineers will show up at Allen Fieldhouse and deliver a humiliating defeat at Allen Fieldhouse, so we'll see how that turns out. Today is September the 11th. I'm sure many of you, some of you were not alive, because the older I get, I realize, and I'm speaking to some university students here who would not have been alive on September the 11th, 2001, but many of you do remember where you were on that Tuesday morning, and it's hard to believe 21 years have passed since those two towers came down, since the planes crashed in the Pennsylvania field, since the plane hit the Pentagon, and the 21 years of strife that have ensued. And so it's been, very interesting, very confusing, frustrating times in many respects. But let us remember today, in a special way, those who served in uniform, those who served as first responders, those who've tried to help our country heal from that event. And in a special way, and this is maybe the bigger task, to continue praying for a return to our Judeo-Christian roots as a nation. America is not a perfect country, but she's a grand country, and we are very blessed to live here. And so let us thank God for our nation, and let us pray for order in our nation, a civic order, but also a spiritual order as well. There's never been a perfect country. So we don't need to be, hate ourselves in some way. But let us work towards that restoration of our roots. We use the word freedom as, land of the free, home of the brave. And oftentimes, I think we misuse that word freedom as in the sense of license. I should be free to do whatever I feel I can do or whatever I want to do. And that is not a Catholic nor Christian understanding of the word freedom. Because to be free, authentically free, means that we will not be enslaved in any way to the influences of Satan, the influences, the effects of the fall from original sin, the effects of the Garden of Eden, because we recognize that we're broken, fallen human beings, but Christ came to save us, to restore us to reunion with Him in this life, through a life of grace, but also calling us to heaven. And so to have a proper understanding of what it means to be free, yes, free as Americans, but more deeply, more importantly, free to choose the good. Free to choose the good and that which will draw us to the ultimate good. And as Catholics, as Christians in this world today, we are going, if we're going to authentically live our Catholic faith, and just even for non-Catholics, Christians who are going to be disciples of Jesus, we are going to look odd in the world. We're going to look a little weird. Now, Flannery O'Connor, who was an author from the early 20th century, she has many very quotable lines. She was a Catholic author from Georgia. And she said this once, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you odd. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you odd." And so as Catholics, If we're going to embrace the truth, if we're going to embrace Jesus Christ, if we're going to be authentic followers of Jesus, we are going to look odd in the world. And that's okay, because Catholics have looked a little odd for 2,000 years since Jesus established the church. One of the teachings, and this is something we're going to talk about this week, one of the teachings of the church that makes us look particularly odd is the Eucharist. But as I say that, don't confuse what Catholics celebrate as the Eucharist with what other Christian denominations have a breaking of the bread, and I respect what they do in their commemorations of the Last Supper. That's good for them over there. But for what we do as Catholics, there is something very, very distinct and unique that happens every time we come to Mass. Because what we believe is that the second person of the Blessed Trinity, Jesus Christ, mysteriously, miraculously, comes to us on the altar in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. He comes to us hidden under the appearance, the philosophical term is accidence, but the appearance of bread and wine, but somehow, miraculously, the substance, who that bread is, who is, whose blood is in that chalice, it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. It is the most real thing, if you will, the most realistic thing that we can encounter. And it's very distinct from what the Protestant understanding of their Eucharistic Last Supper celebrations are. This is something odd. It makes us look odd. And that's okay. Because Jesus said, do this in memory of me. And with the bishops have initiated a several-year process of a Eucharistic revival and a chance to study the Eucharist with events like parish missions. And I know parishes are doing catechesis and so forth. But why is it such a big deal that we come together to celebrate the Eucharist? Is it just the social event, the social ceremony? What we do at Mass? Just a good, hey, it's good to see you, you know. And I appreciate the porters and the greeters. That's great to be met at the door. And just that joy that is there, that invitation to come in, but to come into something very unique because we step up to Calvary. We are present at Calvary, that sacrifice of Jesus, when we come to Mass. And it would blow our minds if we understood. We can never grasp it fully, but we can grow in love and appreciation of this great gift, the Eucharist. And so this week, and by the way, your parish bulletin has it here on page 8. Don't read it now. No, read it after Mass. But on page 8, there's a little breakdown of all of the events that are going on for the parish mission this week. So you're welcome to come to any of the events. Starts this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Well, that's confessions at 3, and the talk is at 4. The first talk this afternoon is called Wasting Time with the Lord. Wasting time with the Lord. I mean, if you're praying, you're never wasting time with Jesus. I mean, it's never a waste. But some people feel like it's a waste, and they don't understand, why do people go to Eucharistic exposition? Why do they go and pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? And there's, you know, with that monstrance that you put on the altar and you come and pray and you sing in Latin and you put the incense out. But it's a distinct time of a very intense encounter with Jesus. Why do people do that? Well, that's what I want to talk about at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So you can come and join us if you'd like. And then each night, Wednesday nights, we'll have talks at 7. The only variation is that on Tuesday morning, there's an additional talk. It's a talk on Eucharistic miracles. That's at 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. But Monday night's talk is going to be the Eucharist, aiding family holiness. So if you are aspiring to have a family, if your kids are out of the house, if you're a grandpa or a grandma, this is a talk that can be of some assistance to you, I think, because it's, again, a focus on the Eucharist, but how can I incorporate this into my family life now? So that's Monday night. Tuesday night will be a talk on how to receive Holy Communion well. It's called Breathing Fire Like Lions. It's a quote from St. John Chrysostom. And you have to come to the talk to figure out the rest of why St. John Chrysostom said that. Wednesday night, we're going to close out with Mass. And that talk, the Mass homily will be about Our Lady and the Eucharist, the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Eucharist. So that's on page 8 of the bulletin. It's right there. So be sure to look at that. And again, don't come to stroke my ego. Don't come to make Father happy. Come because you want to come. Do you want this? Do you want to grow in faith? How do we grow? How do athletes who train to be at the top of their game, how do they prepare for that? They exercise, they eat right, and they work hard. Growing in faith is the same way, through the life of prayer, and then coming together as a family, as a team, as a parish, you use whatever metaphor you want, but come together and train together, but in so doing that, sometimes we come at times other than just Sunday. We come for these devotional times, like a parish mission, as a time to help revive you personally, but the whole parish too, because there is a team component to it. As members of the mystical body of Christ, you're trying to help one another get to heaven. And it's a lot more, I admit, it's more fun to preach to a full church like this than it is to 3 people or 4 people. But I'm going to preach, even if nobody comes, I'm going to preach. Because Father, he'll be obliged because he's the pastor and he has to come out. So I'll preach to Father and Father Sabo. But come out to give in a special way though. We're going to have through the course of the talks each evening, they'll be about an hour long. We'll have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, some silent adoration. The talk will last about 40 or 45 minutes and then we'll have benediction. You'll be done in about an hour. So if you can come out one night or come out every night, it would be great. So please consider that as something that you're going to do this week, because this is for you, and your pastor has put this together for a deepening of your faith. And so let this be something where we really try to just offer praise to God and then come together in that time of worship. One of the other dimensions of a parish mission is that having a visiting preacher in town, a visiting priest, you also have a visiting priest who hears confessions. And he's a priest who leaves at the end of the week. And so if you haven't been to confession in a while, and you're scared that Father will recognize your voice, one of the priests, you're like, oh, I don't want to go to those guys. Oh, they're young. You know, I don't want to scandalize them. And I'm the visiting priest. I leave at the end of the week. I don't know you. I mean, I'm happy to meet you, but so you could, if you want, there's these examinations of conscience at the back of church. The porters are going to hand them out, and these are put together by the Fathers of Mercy. They are an examination of conscience for teens and adults, so do not give them to your third grader, please. They're a little more PG, and we like to preserve that innocence, but this digs under the fingernails of life, as it were. And it really helps be a good examination, a comprehensive examination of life. Now, maybe you go to confession regularly, and so you're thinking, well, Father, I already go to confession regularly. I don't need to go to confession. Here's your homework. You take one of these, because inevitably, every one of us knows a fallen away Catholic, someone who's not going to church because of COVID, because, you know, there's something that they're mad at Father, you know, who knows? Take one of these for them and say, hey, you've been talking about going back to church. You know, there's a visiting priest in town. He's going to leave on Thursday. You don't know him. I don't know him. He leaves at the end of the week. Why don't you go to confession to him? Now, this person might say, well, you know, I don't remember how to go to confession. And you say, well, it's all right here. They've got it in this pamphlet. It's right there in 6 or 7 easy steps, how to go to confession. And the act of contrition is right in the middle of the page right there. So you don't even have to have your act of contrition memorized. And then they'll say to you, oh, it's just, I'm so embarrassed. It's been so long. And you say, it's okay. If you can't remember all your sins, don't worry about it. The fathers of mercy thought of all your sins for you. Right there in black and white. Yeah. I said that at one parish mission. This one guy, he came up to me. He was a smart aleck. He said, "Father, if I just highlight all my sins in yellow highlighter, and if I take that examine and just slide it under the confessional door, can I do that?" And I said, "No, it doesn't work quite like that, no." But it was a good try, you know. It was a good try. But there is a beauty in the sacrament of confession. I mean, and let us not forget what goes on in confession is a real encounter with God's mercy and a real encounter, in that encounter, a taking away of sins. And there, that when we walk out of the confessional, if we've examined our conscience, we haven't held anything back, and we've made that firm purpose of amendment. Now, I know a lot of people, they get hung up, they think, "Well, I have to be perfect when I leave confession." Hopefully you will be. Hopefully you're in that process of being perfected. But you know, life is hard sometimes. What if you have to go back to confession? What if I fall? What if I struggle again? Don't worry about the future. Live today. Just take care, just let today be its own struggle. And rely on God's grace. When you think about sin as kind of a parallel or a metaphor of cancer as a metaphor of sin, sometimes when cancer patients go for surgery or in preparation for surgery or in their cancer treatments, they have to go back to the doctor a couple of times to kill the cancer. Confession is like a spiritual medicine, a chemotherapy of sorts, for killing the cancer of sin in our lives. And sometimes it might take more than one visit. And so this is one of the aids, though, and that sacrament of confession is the action that goes on, that real grace that God is giving us in that taking away of sin and a building up of our soul and a restoration of our soul so that we can have that confidence that God, He does love us, but He's not going to take away from us our sins without us being willing to work at it. Look at the gospel this morning. What did the younger son do when he went, what prompted the younger son to go home was this, that he finally came to his senses. He took responsibility for his sins, and then he went home. Dad didn't run after him and prevent him from leaving. The younger son, he said, "My gosh, I'm in a bad way. And my dad's servants live better than I do." And so there was a recognition of his what he'd done wrong, and then there was a real, honest effort to change his way of life. There was a conversion that went on. And that's what confession aids us, is that firm purpose of amendment, that desire to show the Lord, "I'm going to do what I can." This helps you grow in holiness, but then that contributes to the holiness of the parish and the holiness of the church. And so hopefully this parish mission this week will be a time of growth, a time of building up for all of you. And so I hope that you'll be able to come out this week. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.